stats are for losers.
Welcome, everyone, to another thrilling episode of Statistically Speaking. I'm your co-host, Kyle. With me always is the currently mourning Blinken Riley. And we have a special guest today, Nate Manzo. He is a college football lover. And what caught my eye about him on Twitter was he does great data vizzes, which is short for visualizations, if you don't know, if you're not in the know. Nate, how's it going?
I'm good, man. I just want to say thanks for having me on. Big fan of both of you guys on Twitter, so it's a treat to be on here today.
Awesome. I see on your profile that you are that you have hashtag rstats in your profile. That means you're an R over Python guy, right? Is that what that it means?
Yeah. So not to get into like any language wars or anything like that, but I'm a big R guy. Nothing against Python. I really like both of them. Are super useful. Definitely would encourage anybody to get their feet wet with either one. But I love R stats. I love the R community more than anything. Like, there's a really helpful and welcoming open community on Twitter for R. So if you search that R stats hashtag, you'll find all sorts of people. You can ask all sorts of questions and you'll get a bunch of help right away. So the community is really what drew me into it.
That's great. Yeah. I don't know which way I lean. I think I lean more towards R, but that's only because I have more experience with it. I used Python, I think, for like one class ever, and I liked it, but I just knew more about R, so I just tend to lean towards that. But I do agree about the community. That's why I even joined. That's why I got on Twitter to begin with, because I was into Tableau. I love Tableau. It's like my favorite toy. And there was a big community on Twitter for that stuff. So that's what really got me into this. So I'm sure you have met lots of great data people on Twitter.
Yeah, that's really like, that's one of the reasons I got into Twitter and I started the account, really, is just to try to make some connections and meet some people and try to practice some of this stuff that I had learned for work using R. And see if I could apply it with some stuff that I really care about in college football. So, yeah, that was kind of how the whole thing was born. And it's been a really fun couple of years, 3 years now, I think, that I've had the Twitter account going and made some fun connections. And, you know, never would have been in a place like this to be on your podcast if it weren't for all that. So it's been fun.
Yeah, for sure. So what's your bread and butter, Nate? Like, is it like... Like on a weekly basis, what is it like you like to do, just regarding just college football data in general? Like, you had like an updated composite ratings, I think tweet a couple weeks ago or maybe a week ago that I really liked, just the way you built it in R, the colors and stuff. It was just very easy to read. I like stuff that I can easily know what I'm looking at. A lot of people have trouble with that, but you seem to be pretty good around R. So, what do you like to do in R? Like, what's like? I have all day to just do nothing, just play around with R. What are you messing with? What are you checking out?
First off, thanks for those kind words. Yeah, no, I mean that's really my whole goal with R and posting these graphs on Twitter is like, how can I take a bunch of interesting data and try to synthesize it, compile it in a way. Visualize it in a way that is easy for a lot of people to understand, regardless of how well you know the in-depth mechanics of any particular model or formula or things like that. You know, the things I've been posting lately that have gotten a lot of traction is those composite ratings, where I'm looking at ratings from like a lot of people that I would consider much smarter than myself, right? You got Bill Connolly with his SP Plus. You got Brian Fremo's FEI ratings. You got the ESPN Analytics Group has got their FPI. Rob Bowron, I think he's been on your podcast before. Kelly Ford, they've all got their own ratings, and they all are looking. They're all trying to determine kind of the same thing, but putting their own different spin on it, a little bit different methodology. So you know, we have this saying, like the wisdom of the crowd, right? If we look at all of them together and kind of try to compile them together, we can see there's even better, potentially better or more interesting insights that we can get from that. So if we bring them all together, look at them together and see, you know, how can we compare teams from all these different conferences, played all sorts of different schedules, and really get an idea of their individual team strength. So that's what I've been posting a lot lately. It's been getting a lot of traction. So
yeah,
it's been fun.
One of the things I find interesting on the composite, especially the table graphic, is looking at which teams are outliers for which like systems. I think that's super fascinating, and trying to figure out like, you know, why something like that is. And I know, Rob, I think last week was like, can you guess which model's previous data has dropped out at this point? Because his kind of had a big shuffle recently. But I enjoy like going through and finding, you know, one, you like SP Plus, not super big on USC, right? But probably way more than others, still real big on Oklahoma, right? And so, you know, you wonder, you know, what's fallen out, what's, you know, what's the proportions. I know he does a lot of like, I know returning production and recruiting kind of stay in his for, you know, a few weeks and eventually drop out. But, you know, that stuff changes, you know, differently with each model. And so I really like seeing those outliers.
Yeah, no, I think, when Rob posted last week that he completely dropped all the preseason stuff out of the model, it's all in-season ratings at this point. Like, you can see pretty clearly, like, his model differs quite a bit. Like, we'll get to it later when we cover OU Kansas, but that's a great example. Like, every other system right now has still OU favored by at least a point, so SP Plus by 7 points. But Rob Byron's BetaRank has Kansas favored by like 9-ish points, right? Because it's not looking at the historical stuff. Right. It doesn't know how good OU's been for years. It's not looking at recruiting rankings. It's just totally in-season data. And Kansas has been really impressive on the field this year. So, yeah, no, that type of stuff is really interesting to me as well.
I mean, this is way too much, so I'm never going to do this. But maybe you could. I think it'd be cool to do like a when the season's over or end of season, when we're like waiting for bowl games to start, when there's extra time, I think it'd be cool to see how the ratings changed from like week one and just like watch like a time lapse of watching the dots move, you know, across the various axes, whatever you're tracking on here, just to see how teams have changed from preseason to the end.
I think it's a great
idea. It's a lot of work. I'm not doing it.
I've tried to do something like that in the past. It is a lot of work, and it's tough these days because work is pretty challenging, demanding. Right. I got two little kids at home too, so there's always other. I got dozens of ideas of stuff I'd want to do, but finding the time to do it all and do it justice, to do it good job to it is it's always tough these days. But I'll definitely agree on the idea list.
Yeah, could not agree more. I get ideas all the time, and I'm like oh, and I write down like when I wake up in the morning, I'll wake up really early, I'll see if I can get cracking on it. No, never gonna happen.
Yeah, never happens. Never happens. It just sits in the back burner, like, and then you go find like you know, some files or some data you like download like to kind of prep for it, and it just like died, right? Yeah. It's just like a dead project that, you know, you stumble upon like 3 years later.
Yeah, or it's missing half the teams and you're just like, whatever, I give up. I'm not even I'm not doing this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Been there.
Frustrated when you're matching up team data from one source to another, and you know one source has ST period and the other says STATE, and you're like, I don't have time for this. I'm moving on.
That's the kind of stuff that Kyle in his 20s would love to do. I wish I could give it to him. I'm not doing that. I don't have the time or energy. But I totally agree. Ideas are nice to try and get going, but life gets in the way. But luckily there's a lot, there's a giant community out there. Someone will do it one day. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Well, so how'd you get into, you know, stats and stuff like this? Did you go to school for it? Did you just stumble on it kind of outside of, you know, career, or how'd you get into it?
I think if I had gone to school maybe 10 years later, I would have majored in something like data science and things like that. But I was at OU. I think I overlapped at OU with you, Blinken, a little bit. I was there from like 04 to 08. And there really wasn't that same type of major. I ended up in majoring in industrial engineering. And so I don't have like a great statistical background. I took a bunch of those classes, but I was not a great student. I actually had to take the like intro to statistics twice because I just didn't do my homework. but I ended up getting into it more into my career, and I had a job for a little while where I worked for the head of data science, trying to work on some inventory modeling stuff. And so he's the one who taught me R and a bunch of the statistics stuff. And when I left that job, I knew I needed to do something on the side to practice it, because I don't have to do it for my day-to-day stuff. So that's how I ended up doing this stuff on the side, is just so I wouldn't lose those skills.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. I was at OU 05 to 09, and I was mechanical engineering. So,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Similar thing. And, you know, I ended up not doing engineering, and now I'm, you know, I do data analyst work, you know, for a living. And so, yeah, I always find that interesting, especially with people, you know, our age, kind of right as it was getting kind of bigger, or right before it was getting really big. You know, a lot of us really did like peel off from, you know, whatever career track we were on to, you know, kind of get into this field.
Yeah, exactly. I was 04, 08 also at Texas. And yeah, it wasn't a thing. I majored in advertising because I was like, oh, that sounds like fun, whatever. And then my last year, I took this elective. It was like sports advertising in sports. And it was like my favorite class of all time. All we did was talk about like collegiate stuff and football and marketing. And so I really was really into it. I was like, man, how come this wasn't a major whenever I was signing up for school?
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, now there's like data science stuff all over the place, little programs you can do, certificates you can get, you know, that kind of stuff. So it definitely is out there for everyone to absorb right now. So make sure you follow Nate if you want to see some of his awesome stuff. Well, with that,
all right,
let's get into some picks. Picking. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
That's why the people are here. They want to see someone not tie. We've been tying the last like 4 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. We have some pretty good games here. I think some potential for some people go a little crazy and cough some upsets, I think. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
I'm just trying to have some fun before we get to the Oklahoma-Kansas discussion.
Can't wait.
All right. Let's start in the Big Ten with Penn State, Michigan. Lines at 7.5, Michigan. Average on prediction tracker says that's probably right on the money. What do y'all think of Penn State at Michigan?
You know, I think it's going to be a pretty good game. I think these teams are both pretty similar in like their records, who the types of teams they've played so far. This is both of their first, you know, ranked game against a ranked opponent. So I think it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be probably on the lower side of scoring, just because, you know, Big Ten, they like those 3-7 halftime score games. So if I was a betting man, I would probably stay away from going over on this one. But I think I'm leaning towards Michigan just simply because of home field advantage. I think it'll be close, and I think that those 3 points swing, I think that'll be towards Michigan. So my guess is Michigan on this one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Michigan as well. I think Penn State's a solid team, right? They're AP number 10. We got them. I don't have the full composites ready for this week yet, because not all the the different ratings have been published yet, but right now I've got the preliminarily at like 13th versus Michigan, AP number 5, composite number 5. But the first real test, I think, for Michigan this year, but I think they get it through. J.J. McCarthy's 12th in QBR, 82.1 QBR this year. He's having a really solid year. Sean Clifford, you know, he's okay. He's 53rd in QBR, but I think give me the better quarterback, and I think probably the more talented overall team. I'll go with Michigan.
Yeah, I'll take Michigan as well. I think they're just overall better team at home. I think it's going to be tough for Penn State to kind of step up to that. All right, next, Clemson at Florida State. Clemson's favored by 4.5. Prediction tracker says maybe a few more points, about 7 for Clemson. I like Clemson in this game. I think I'm not too sure Florida State's all that great. I like Clemson on the road in this one. What do y'all think?
Well, I think it's going to be closer than 4 points, and Florida State needs every single bit of that at home field advantage. This is the first of many upsets I'm calling. Florida State's got this one.
Ooh.
It'll be close. Maybe a game-winning field goal. We'll see.
I mean, DJ Uiagalelei has been playing pretty well the last few couple weeks. So, yeah, I can't – I don't know. I don't have the stones to go there yet.
Well, I'm trying to play catch-up to you anyway, so I have to. Got to play it.
I like the pick. I like keeping it spicy. I do think Florida State can be competitive. I think they're not as bad as they were, right? I think they're out of, you know, they kind of hit a floor there for a while. I think they're on the way back up to respectability. But I think Clemson is, we've got them AP number 4. I think Composite's also got them at number 4 this year or this week. DJ has been better this year after a pretty down year last year. I'm going to stick with Clemson, but I like that Florida State pick.
All right, next, we're going to go Alabama, Tennessee. Vegas likes Alabama by 7.5. Prediction tracker average says maybe a little bit closer than that. What do we think? Alabama, Tennessee. Tennessee's pretty good.
Tennessee is really good this year. Like, I've been waiting for them to fall off, and it hasn't happened yet. And Bama is 100% beatable. Jalen Milroe, I think he threw 12 completions. Haynes King doubled up on him. They almost won with their old school crappy offense. So I don't see Bama winning this. Tennessee will finally take care of Bama. It'll happen.
I like that pick again. I think if I was picking against the spread, I would definitely take Tennessee, right? Definitely take those points. I'm rooting for Tennessee. I feel like a lot of people are rooting for Josh Heupel for sure. Amazing turnaround job he's done there so far. I'm going to stick with Alabama. I'm going to assume Nick Saban finds a way to get it done. It probably might be ugly, but I'm going to stick with Alabama.
Yeah, I got to go Alabama. I like Tennessee a lot. I like their quarterback, Hooker. I like a lot of what Tennessee's doing, but I just think Alabama's going to take this game. I think Nick Saban probably took everyone's cell phones away after the performance against Texas A&M. So I think he's getting everybody back in line. All right, next, Mississippi State at Kentucky. This is a pretty interesting one. Mississippi State's favored. The line opened at 5.5, but it's up to 7 now. Prediction tracker likes about 4.5 for Mississippi State. Mississippi State at Kentucky.
I like Mississippi State in this. They've taken care of business 2 weeks in a row. They look great. a big Mike Leach fan always, so give me Mississippi State on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing as well. I think Kentucky, Mississippi State's 16th in AP, Kentucky's 22nd in AP, but look at the preliminary composite numbers. I've got Mississippi State 10th and Kentucky down at 33rd. Rob Byron's beta rank has Mississippi State as like an 18-point favorite on a neutral site. There's a lot of – the analytics really like Mississippi State. So I'm going to stick with Mississippi State.
So I'm actually going to go with Kentucky at home in this one. I think Kentucky is one of those teams that can slow the game down, which is, one of those things, especially against the, run fast, spread them out, can kind of throw a wrench in things. Kentucky is right now 10th in time of possession. I mean, they can absolutely turn it on if they need to. So I think this is going to be kind of low scoring, probably frustrating for Mississippi State. And I think Kentucky grinds out a win, an ugly one. All right, USC, Utah. Utah's favored by 4 in this. The average on prediction tracker has UT favored by 3. What do we think about USC, Utah? I keep saying every single week that USC can't keep up their turnover luck, but by God, they just keep on rolling. I don't know. I don't know about this one. I think this is an interesting game. What do y'all think?
I'm taking USC just because they're on a roll. I don't think Utah's that great. I don't think USC's that great, but I think they're better than Utah. So I don't think home field advantage or like the numbers being in Utah's favor are going to help. USC's got this.
I've been looking forward to this game since Lincoln Riley went to USC. I think Lincoln's offense has sometimes struggled with some of those tough-nosed, hard-nosed teams like a Baylor, like an Iowa State, like a K-State when he was here. I've always been curious to see what it looks like when he goes up against Kyle Whittingham. I'm going to take Utah here.
Yeah, I'm going to go Utah as well. I think this week is the week it catches up with them, right? It's silly. It's like the gambler's fallacy, right? But I don't know. I think this is finally that game where maybe the cards don't fall exactly right for USC and Utah takes a win at home. All right, here we go. Next, Kansas at Oklahoma. Prediction tracker average right now is less than 3 points between these two teams. For whatever reason, God only knows, Vegas has Oklahoma as a 7.5 point favorite.
Man, they need to update their recency bias levels. It's too high right now.
I don't know what in the world they're thinking, but I'm just going to get it out of the way, and I'm going to say Oklahoma wins, but I don't feel great about it.
I think, there we go, OU's got to have Dylan Gabriel back to have a chance. Somehow, like, Jalen Daniels has been awesome, right, at Kansas all year. He's got like a 90 QBR on the year. Jason Bean came in and posted a 90 QBR last week in relief. Like, somehow Kansas has a much better quarterback situation than Oklahoma. I think Kansas offense is really fun to watch, right? They're doing all sorts of motion, all sorts of misdirection stuff. I don't have any faith that the defense will get things figured out in one more week after such a dejected performance from last week. I'm taking Kansas here, sadly.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I think you might be right. I've got to. I don't know. I've got to take Oklahoma, but man.
Doesn't feel good.
It does not. It does not.
Man, last year's Kansas OU game was awesome. Kansas could have, they should have won that game. That wasn't that the game where Caleb did that crazy little, like, what did he do? Like, he like gave it to someone. He stole the ball from his running back. Yeah. Okay, yeah. He stole it and then just kept going with it. Like, that was a great, that was a great game. And y'all escaped. Not this year. Karma's coming back. It's going to be a ground pounding, I hope. I think Kansas wins by multiple scores. But you will score on them. It's not the mighty Longhorns this week, so it'll be closer, but I think Kansas wins this one.
Oof. All right. Minnesota, Illinois. This is an interesting game. Minnesota is favored. It was 3.5, and it's moved to 7. The line, the average on Prediction Tracker actually likes Illinois by 0.5. I don't know. This is a super interesting game, and I've gone back and forth all day on which who I'm going to pick. But what do y'all think about this game, Minnesota, Illinois?
Yeah, I'm just not used to Illinois being ranked. You know, Minnesota's been ranked the last few years. I don't know. I think this is going to be – I've been going back and forth, too. I don't know. I like Illinois. You know, it's home field advantage, but Minnesota's been playing well all year. So I think it's a toss-up. If I was going last, I would choose the opposite of what y'all choose. But since I'm going first, give me Illinois on this one.
I think this is a toss-up, though. It is an interesting game. When's the last time we said that about Minnesota versus Illinois? I think Illinois' quarterback may or may not play, right? Like Tommy DeVito, I think, got hurt last week.
And I think that might be part of the reason for the line move movement. And so, yeah, I think you're right.
He may or may not play. I think the backup is Artur Sitkowski, and he threw for 79 yards last week against Iowa in the Sickos Bowl game of the week last week. Minnesota is interesting because they were number 5 in the composite 2 weeks ago because they've just beaten up on a bunch of bad teams, New Mexico State, Western Illinois, Colorado. They just beaten up a bunch of terrible teams, and then they lost to Purdue. So they're supposed to get Muhammad Ibrahim back this week. I'm taking Minnesota here.
Yeah, I like Minnesota too. I think with the injury concerns and the way the lines moved, I gotta take Minnesota. Somebody knows something. So after I just called, you know, all of Las Vegas crazy for their spread in the Oklahoma game, I'm gonna trust them with all I have in this one. All right, next, Washington State, Oregon State. Oregon State favored by 3.5. It's about a 1-point game according to Prediction Tracker average.
Yeah. This is a tough one. Again, it's like Minnesota, Illinois. It's a toss up for me. I'm not even sure who I should pick, but I'm sticking with a home team like I did with Illinois. So let's do Oregon State on this one.
I think I'm going to go the other way here. I haven't caught a lot of Oregon State games. I have gotten to see a little bit of Washington State, and they've got some fight in them. They're competitive. They're doing some good things. They're not fantastic, but they're doing some good things. I'm going to go with Washington State.
I like Washington State. I like Oregon State too, though. I think this one basically comes down to who's at home, and give me Oregon State at home. If this was in Pullman, I'd probably go Washington State, but let's go Oregon State. North Carolina State, Syracuse. Syracuse is favored by 3.5. Line average says this is about a toss-up. I mean, it's a fun story with Syracuse, and North Carolina State hasn't been as good as maybe some people thought they might be.
Yeah.
Kind of lackluster quarterback play, especially after last year. I don't know. I think North Carolina State still gets it done in this game on the road. I think this is, like I said, fun story for Syracuse, but I think North Carolina State gets this one. What do y'all think about this game?
I think this will be Syracuse's, obviously, their toughest game all season. Real test for them, see if they're legit, prepping for Clemson week after. But I'm going Syracuse just because I like them. They're my second school that I went to, so give me the orange.
Yeah, this one is definitely a bit of a toss-up for me.
Yep.
I think you mentioned lackluster quarterback play for NC State. Devin Leary's 83rd in QBR, right? He's got a 51 QBR rating, which is basically average, which is like there was a lot of expectations for him coming into this year. I live in Raleigh, so I think I got to go with NC State. I got to go with my new hometown team, but I'm not super confident about it.
Yeah, I think this is, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised either way on this game, but yeah, I think give me NC State.
Sweet.
All right. Last but not least, I think this is a big game, especially for the Big 12. Oklahoma State, TCU. TCU is favored by 4. Models say this is basically a toss-up. What do you think of Oklahoma State, TCU?
I think Oklahoma State wants that Big 12 championship this year. They came so close last year. I think they're going to pull it off. TCU is good, but I think Oklahoma State's a little better. So give me Oklahoma State on this one.
Yeah. This is going to be a great game. It's a shame that it's at the 3:30 or the middle afternoon game at the same time as Alabama-Tennessee. I think there won't be as many eyes on this as they deserve. But, I think two very evenly matched teams. I'm going to go with TCU. Max Duggan's having, like, a dream season. He's 5th in QBR in the country. Spencer Sanders is doing good, too, this year. But I'm going to go with TCU at home.
I'm actually going to go Oklahoma State. You're right. Duggan's had a crazy year. Sanders has had a good year. I think maybe defensively, Oklahoma State probably does a little better against TCU than maybe all the teams that TCU has played so far. So I'm you know, which includes, you know, Kansas, Oklahoma, you know. I'm going to go with Oklahoma State just on the defensive edge. Maybe probably can handle Max Duggan a little better than the rest of the teams this season. So, yeah, I'll take Oklahoma State.
Nice. Well, that's it. Those are the picks.
All right. You got an Aggie fact for us?
Do I have an Aggie fact? I always got Aggie facts. Here we go. Saturday, as you know, was Texas's 11th shutout against Oklahoma. While impressive, the Longhorns have shut out Texas A&M 145% more, even though they haven't played in over a decade. Mm. 27 shutouts.
Mm.
So it could be worse, Blinken. Just you got to find the silver lining.
Yeah. Could be worse. I mean, you know, maybe it could be worse.
We might see worse this week.
Yeah. 49-0 to Kansas is way worse than 49-0 to Texas. I mean, and I'm not counting out anything at this point. This is I mean, it's just something I haven't seen in my entire life. And I think there's a large subset of Oklahoma fans that have never seen anything like this in their life.
Well, yeah, at least since, like, you throw out stats all the time about, like, Texas has, like, whatever, 5 losing seasons since 2010, and OU has, what, like, 5 ever? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's something like 5 in the last, like, since the 40s.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's dumb. And, like, I think Bill Connolly a couple weeks ago was talking about it in one of his, one of the pieces he had written. Oh no, it was in the Athletic. It was in the Athletic. Somebody referred to it as maddeningly consistent greatness or something.
I agree. That's why no one likes you. That's why we hate Oklahoma, because y'all are always good.
I mean, and it's just a lot of us just can't handle it. I mean, we just don't know what it's like. We can't. Well, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I just hope we show up.
Yeah, I just hope it's competitive.
Yeah.
No, well, yeah. Kidding. Well, the only thing worse than losing 3 in a row is losing 6 in a row. So, at least you haven't lost 6 in a row. That was bad. Imagine. That was bad stuff. So, you'll get over it.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ice my wounds some more.
Okay.
I'm going to go rest.
Well, yeah.
I still haven't quite gotten over Saturday.
it's going to hit you like on a random Tuesday when you're like in the shower and you're just going to Charlie Brown it and just head low and just let the water rush over you for about 30 minutes.
Yeah, like Tobias Funke, like chewing into his washcloth, like crying in the shower.
Yes. We've all been there. That's why college football is so great, though. Well, anyway, Nate, it was a pleasure having you on the podcast. If you're not following Nate, make sure you do so. He does some great stuff. It's at CFB Nate. You can't miss them. And we'll be tagging them all weekend if we do posts and stuff. So come check them out. Come give them a follow. And thank you so much, Nate, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on. Like I said, big fans of both of you. So this has been a lot of fun. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Stats are for losers.